as all of you know very well, things work differently in biblical times from what it does today. And their understanding of sickness and disease and the treatment of these is no exception to the rule. So if we thus take a look at the background of our reading, we will understand the text better. Today we know that if you feel unwell, it is most probably due to the fact that a virus or a bacteria is attacking your body. And when this happens, we go to the surgery, see a GP, get medicine and advice, and then hopefully get better. But in biblical times, things were not that simple. Especially if the disease you had was leprosy. You might find it interesting that the leprosy we read about in the Bible is not the same disease we call leprosy today. The only similarity is that both of these diseases are skin conditions. Biblical leprosy was seen as a punishment for sins. They believed that when somebody sinned in secret and could thus not be punished publicly like it would have been done otherwise, God would make this sin visible by means of a mark on their skin, which means everybody could see that they sinned in secret and then they could be punished for it. This also explains why a priest and not a doctor declared somebody as healthy again after they had leprosy. Now, leprosy made you unholy. And to be a part of the people of God, you had to be holy. And the worst of it all was that they believed that leprosy was extremely contagious. Even clothes and houses could be affected by it, which resulted in the complete banning of people who had leprosy. They were placed in a kind of a quarantine. They had to live in isolation, and they had to wear torn clothes, and they were not even allowed to comb their hair. And if somebody came close to them, they had to cover the bottom bit of their faces and then shout in a very, very loud voice, "Unclean! Unclean!" in order not to contaminate somebody else. Now, to wear torn clothes and not to comb your hair was a sign of mourning in biblical times. And I think that is exactly what people with leprosy did. They mourned. Because they were not allowed to be part of their community anymore. They could not even have contact with their family. And the worst thing was, they were not allowed to get into communion with God. But for 10 people with leprosy, all of this changed because they met Jesus. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and before he entered one of the villages on his way there, 10 men with leprosy saw him, and true to the customs of the time, they kept their distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And then, what did Jesus do? He immediately replied, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Actually, they were only supposed to show themselves to the priest once they were healed. But Jesus sent them away without healing them first. But the fact that they went to the priests immediately was more than enough to show to Jesus that they believed him, that they knew that he had the power to heal them. And that's why he did heal them on their way there. Once you got to the priest, he would inspect your skin, and if he truly saw that there was nothing wrong with you, he would declare you clean again and then allow you to become a part of the community again, which obviously was the day of which every single person with leprosy dreamed. Now, these 10 men went back to the priest, and on their way there, they were healed. And now we come to the most important bit of the story, What happened when they realized that they were healed? Only one of them turned back and thanked Jesus for healing him. In other words, only one of them realized that Jesus did not only heal him physically, but also changed his whole life. He was now a new person. He not only now had the opportunity to become a part of the community again, but because he chose to say thank you to Jesus, he also made himself a part of the family of God. And to top it all, he was not even a purebred Jew like the other nine who were supposed to realize these things. He was a Samaritan, one of the half-Jews who were despised by the purebred Jews because seemingly they did not serve God in the correct manner. The nine who were part of the people of God just continued with their lives as if nothing special had happened to them, as if Jesus just had to heal them. But the Samaritan realized that a miracle happened to him, and he gave God the recognition he deserved for that. Amen.
The text verse for the sermon or the reflection this morning comes from verse 16. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. How do you feel when people do not thank you or at least show their appreciation? Yes, we all know that sinking feeling of hurt and disappointment, because it feels as if that person did not even see all the effort I put in. And I think it's the same when it comes to our relationship with God. We must show our appreciation that is part of our existence in the way we respond in faith to our relationship with Him. No one can be the same after realizing the fact that you and I did not have to hang on that cross on Golgotha, that cross of shame. No one can be the same after realizing that He saved us from sin, death, and hell, just like the Samaritan who realized his life would never be the same again. Now, how do we show our gratitude for the miracle he did in our lives? Well, the Bible tells us we need to listen to his words and obey him always and ever. We need to trust him in the good and the bad times of our lives. When we go through the low valleys, we need to take his hand and leave the hands of the world. This hands of the world that is so easy to get hold of, like liquor, drugs, and bad friends. It is like the story where the people had a special day of prayer for rain, and the little girl who asked her mother during the service, "But why, if it's a special day of prayer for rain, why did no one bring any brollies or umbrellas with them?" If we trust and believe in God, we need to show it. We need to give God all our time. We need to show with our lives of faith that He is the center of our whole existence. How? By attending worship services, by a life of prayer and dedication, and a life full of thanksgiving and gratitude. Today is really a special day, and I hope you all feel very thankful. thankful and grateful for the great things that God had done for us all in Jesus Christ. And I hope that this feeling of gratitude and thanksgiving will spill over when we exit into the world and continue every second of every day till we meet here again for the same service next year. Let us all be inspired by everyone today who dedicate their lives to God through service in this congregation when we visit all the stalls. Let's not think that this is a big brag. Let us see this as an opportunity where God's Holy Spirit might touch you and me. Yes, where He urges you to get more involved. And if you have that feeling today, take the first step. Come forward, give us your name, and tell us what is your interest. Well, why? Because Jesus once said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Today is the day where we have the opportunity to show our trust in the Lord God through our gifts. Let us be moved by God's Spirit to share these gifts with other people every second of every day. Let us show our selfish world out there how wonderful it is to live a life full of gratitude, of sharing, a life of prayer. But let us all open our hearts to God and allow Him to work through the many gifts that we received from His fatherly hand. We did not receive the same gifts, but every gift is special and fulfills a special need in God's vineyard, His church on this earth. We do not have to be super special people who never ever make mistakes. We do not have to be super rich or mightily important. We do not have to be the brightest of stars. In God's eyes, everyone matters and everyone is equally important. But everyone needs to share the gift. The gifts that we received from God, although you might think the gift that you received is no big deal. It's only after you shared it with others that you realize what a big difference it makes on this earth and realizes that this can only come from God. Let us think for a minute of the singer, the great Scottish singer, Susan Boyle, who surprised everyone by her gift of singing. Although I'm sure no one could even imagine at her first appearance that this lady can sing. But once she opened her mouth, everyone could hear her gift and hopefully realize that it came from the Lord God. Let us stop worrying what the world or other people will say when I sing falsely in the worship service, when we stumble over our words when we pray, when we do not wear the best clothes, when our children do not behave as best as they should, when we do not always feel very faithful. In our reading, Jesus healed a Samaritan, someone that was not a favorite in the eyes of his society, someone that suffered a double misfortune, being unwell, unholy, and a hateful Samaritan. But God looks at people with different eyes. Eyes that's full of love. And just the same way, He looks at you and me with eyes of mercy. The Lord God knows our hearts. Let us just mean it when we say, thank you, Lord. And let us just do what the Samaritan did, going out of our comfy ways to thank our only Lord and Savior every second of every day. Maybe today a big thank you to the Lord who loves us just as we are. And may we be touched by God's gifts. God who showed us His mercy and His grace. Hallelujah. Amen.